Today is the first day of Advent, a time where we start preparing our hearts and getting ready for the coming of the Christ child. The scriptures will, over the next 4 weeks, are going to center around those things as we look at what God is calling us to and how we are preparing ourselves for this season. So today we're going to be looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting in verse 9. Listen to these words. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we will see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself, our Lord Jesus Christ, clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when the Lord Jesus Christ comes with all his holy ones. A time of focusing for what God has done for us. A time of preparing our hearts once again to get the pure gift of love that God so willingly expressed to us. And as Paul prays for the Thessalonians, he prays and he says great thanks for them. It hasn't been long before he wrote this letter that Paul actually started this church, that he came and got them started, and that's one of the reasons he talks in this letter about, I just would love to come back. But what has happened for them and what has gone on for them has been such a great gift to Paul that he continues to offer up thanks. Thanks for how God has worked in their hearts. Thanks for how God has brought them together. Thanks for what that has meant to him and how that has encouraged him and lift him up time and time again. So right in the middle of this letter, prior to explaining to them some of the things that they needed to work on, he praises them and tells them thanks and tells them that in his prayers he's always thanking God for who they are, how they've come to the gospel, and how they continue to grow in the faith. But then he centers his request on three things. He wants to visit once more with them. He wants to spend some more time with them. They're his children of the faith. He wants to come to them once again and spend time with them. He wants to see their love grow and abound even more and more. And he wants to see God strengthen their hearts. So Paul centers on these three requests. These three requests for him to once again come to them and see them once again and spend some time with them. And then the last thing he prays is for them, their hearts to be strengthened. I want to leave that their love to grow, because that's what I want to center on today. He prays that their hearts are strengthened in the path that they have to walk, that they might come to know God more and more. He says, may God strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus Christ comes with all his holy ones. You see, part of Advent is not just looking for the Christ child and preparing a place for the Christ child in our heart again, but part of Advent is also looking for that second coming of Christ once more. When Christ will come and set everything right, when judgment will be right, mercy and grace will overflow, when the kingdom in all of its righteousness will be established. And Paul prays that their hearts are strengthened and ready for that. But I want to center on this one thing that he says right there in the middle of his request, that their love should increase for each other and all other people. That their love should increase for each other and for all other people. Who does that leave out? I hope you recognize that it doesn't leave anybody out. It does not leave anybody out. It doesn't leave those who are walking the wrong ways out. It doesn't leave criminals out. It doesn't leave anybody out for all other people. Paul's first part of that prayer is that their love would abound for one another, for each other in the community of the faith, and that their love would continue to grow and to grow and to grow. Abound more and more and more and more. I want to recognize, and you've heard me say this before, that love is not just a feeling. Love is not just a feeling. Please recognize that. Because so often in our world, we talk about love being a feeling. Oh, I love that person. Oh, I love broccoli. I know I could pick broccoli and y'all would react to that. I don't know why some people don't like broccoli. Okay? Some of you would say, oh, I love pork. Right? Even though Scripture says don't eat it. And then you're going to tell me, oh, no, we can eat that now. And then you go to the doctor and the doctor says don't eat pork. I wonder if God was on to something. Believe me, if I could eat pork, I would. Barbecue every weekend it would be for me if I could eat it. You see, we talk about love in so many different ways. But I want you to understand that love is not just a feeling. The most important thing for me is that love is an action. It's something we do. It's something we partake of. It's something that we act out in a good way. That's love. So when I say that we should be, Paul says that we should be loving one another and that should abound more and more, we should in our community of faith be trying to find deeper and deeper ways to express that love to one another in all kinds of actions. It might be a kind word. It might be a word of encouragement. It might be picking up after somebody else when they didn't pick everything up themselves. That's love. It might be coming to another person in the community of faith and expressing to them that their feet are walking the wrong path. That can be done in love. Now, we can do it wrongly. And I think sometimes we do. So as Christians, oftentimes we steer away from correcting another person on the spiritual path. But if we love them, would we let that continue to happen? Would we continue to let them walk down the wrong path if we love them? You see, for our love to abound and continue to grow, we need to step out and we need to talk with folks. We need to share with folks. We need to do things for folks. And that is all the more important in the community of faith. Because people outside this community will see that. And it will make a difference for them coming to Jesus Christ. When they see how we take care of one another, how we support one another, how we lift each other up, how we keep each other accountable, I know that's a bad word. Because we don't oftentimes like people to follow us around and tell us, oh, you've done that wrong. Anybody here like that? Oh, you need to correct that. But you know what? Being a Christian and being in love with our community of faith means we will do that. That's what it means. It also means that we're going to try to find ways to reach out to people in the community and express love to them. Some of the folks that don't go to church and never go to church have not gone because they don't feel loved. You see, you can approach them one way. You know, you really need to be in church if you're going to have your relationship with God right. I can hear everybody in the community signing up for being here if I expressed it that way, right? But if I show them love and do different things for them, I don't often introduce myself as a pastor. You guys introduce me as pastor, but I don't often introduce myself as a pastor. Because then people interact with me completely differently. Oh, you're a pastor? Well, I can't tell you this story. And I can't say these words. And let me explain to you why I haven't been in church. That's some of the very first things that people want to do when they find out I'm a pastor. I want them to find out that I love them first. I want them to find out that I care about them first. I want them to know that I'm willing to do things for them first. Not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a Christian. Got one gentleman, I'm not going to mention his name, that I've been talking with at the rec center for about 6 months now. And I'm doing what I can to continue to talk to him a little bit more each and every time we see each other, whether it be working out on the cardio equipment or whether it be in the locker room. As far as I know, he doesn't know I'm a pastor yet. And he and I just have wonderful conversations. And I ask him how it's going. I found out that he was a Vietnam vet, and I've spent some time thanking him over and above and beyond for his service. Because many of them never got thanked. As I've talked with many Vietnam vets, I found out many of them got spit on and called different names as they came back off the planes. And I've spent some time thanking him for what he did. You see, I'm hoping one day to have him sit here in service with both him and his wife. I haven't invited him to church. I want him to know first that I love him. And then I'm concerned about him. And I want to reach out to him in those ways. And I think, as an end result, that'll make a big difference. That when he does find out I'm a pastor, he's going to go, you know, that's good. But I really appreciated the way you cared about me first. I hope that you're doing the same thing, because Paul prays for these people and he says, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and everyone else. Even the guy that when I look at him, I'm like, boy, I'm going to cross the street so that I don't walk next to him. I need to learn how to let my love increase. For love to overflow means that love will take action toward others. For love to overflow, it means that love will take action towards others. It's not just expressing, well, you know, I love you. I love my wife. And when we moved here, she asked me, she said, would you help out around the house by vacuuming the floors and cleaning the floors? I don't love vacuuming the floors or cleaning the floors. But I love my wife, so I'll do it. Love does not say, I'll do the things I like to do, and everything else, forget it. Love says, I'll do what needs to be done that you might see God's love. That's what love is. Whether you want to do it or not, whether you want to interact or not, love is reaching out. You see, today we're here to celebrate the Lord's Supper also. And when I think about this act of love that Jesus Christ did for us, how can I say no to any act of love? How can I say no to any act of love to any individual? Jesus Christ did this for us. And we celebrate today, we celebrate this in remembrance that Jesus' love gave up his whole life for each one of us. Make it personal. It's about you, what Jesus Christ did. It's about you. If you were the only one, this still would have happened. Because God was so broken about that relationship that God said, I choose to die for you. So I want to ask you, before we have a moment of prayer, is your love increasing and overflowing for all people? Is your love increasing and overflowing for all people? Let us pray. Lord, this is a tough thing. Because oftentimes we choose who we want to love. And we choose how we want to express that love. And sometimes we choose only words. But all of Scripture calls us to make love an action, just as you did for us. All of Scripture calls for us to love our brothers and sisters in the community of faith. In a way that we will stoop so much lower than anyone else. And then also that love calls for us to go out in the midst of this community with great humility, to serve other people, to do things for them that they might see your love. Lord, as we come to this table, help us to look deeply at your action of love for us. And help us to find ways in the midst of our lives that we might make love more than a feeling, more than a thought, but we might make it an action that gives up our whole life for the benefit of the whole world, just as you have done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.